Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Lost Art of Dying, Reviving Forgotten Wisdom by L.S. Dovedale. Examines how modern medicine and culture have reshaped the experience of dying, often turning it into a prolonged, highly medicalized process that can obscure meaning, agency, and human connection. Drawing on Dovedale's perspective as a physician, the book explores what has been lost as death moved from homes and communities into institutions and as technical capability expanded faster than our ethical and spiritual frameworks. Rather than offering a simplistic critique of healthcare, it highlights the genuine goods of medical care while questioning when treatment becomes a substitute for care. The work invites readers to reconsider the aims of medicine, the role of family and community, and the importance of preparing for a good death, not only through legal documents, but through shared values and honest conversation. Its central aim is to recover older wisdom about mortality and to translate it into practical guidance for contemporary life and end-of-life decisions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how dying became medicalized. A major thread of the book is the historical and cultural shift that placed dying under the management of modern healthcare. Dovedale highlights how hospitals, intensive care units, and specialized technologies can transform the last chapter of life into a sequence of interventions, measurements, and crisis responses. In this environment, death can feel like a technical failure rather than an expected human event, and the patient may become a set of problems to solve instead of a person to accompany. The book explores how good intentions, fear of death, and professional norms can converge to produce aggressive care that may extend biological life while diminishing the possibility of a humane ending. It also considers how families can be swept into the momentum of treatment, especially when choices are presented in fragmented moments and under stress. By describing this medicalization, Dovedale is not rejecting medicine. Instead, she presses for clearer goals. When should the priority be cure? When should it be comfort? And how do we recognize when the pursuit of more time is no longer aligned with the patient's values? The topic frames the rest of the book by identifying the forces that shape end-of-life experiences today. Secondly, the idea of a good death and why it matters, Dovedale focuses on the concept of a good death, not as a perfect script, but as an approach to dying that respects dignity, relationships, and the moral weight of choices. In contemporary settings, dying can become isolated, rushed, or overly procedural, leaving little space for reconciliation, gratitude, and the practical work of closure. The book argues that a good death is closely tied to a good life, meaning that the values we practice now influence the choices we will make later when time is short and decisions are hard. This topic emphasizes that suffering is not only physical, it can be relational and existential, shaped by fear, unfinished conversations, and a sense of lost meaning. Dovedale encourages readers to think beyond pain control to the broader needs of the person, including presence, honesty, and the freedom to decline burdensome treatment. She also highlights how the language used around dying affects it. If death is framed solely as defeat, it becomes harder to accept limits and to focus on what remains possible. Understanding the good death concept gives readers a lens for evaluating medical options and for recognizing that the quality of an ending involves community, clarity, and compassion. Thirdly, autonomy, choice, and the limits of control. Another important topic is the modern emphasis on autonomy and the promise that individual choice can fully shape the end of life. Dovedale examines how this ideal can help by protecting patients from unwanted treatment and encouraging informed decision-making. At the same time, she points to its limits. Serious illness often brings uncertainty, changing preferences, impaired capacity, and emotionally charged trade-offs that cannot be solved by paperwork alone. The book explores how an over-reliance on autonomy can unintentionally burden patients and families with the sense that they must optimize death, as if it were a consumer decision. It also can narrow our understanding of care to preferences and procedures, sidelining duties of solidarity and the role of community. Dovedale stresses that choices are never made in a vacuum. They are influenced by how clinicians present options, by institutional incentives, and by cultural discomfort with mortality. This topic invites readers to balance self-determination with humility about what can be controlled and to prioritize relationship-based decision-making where trusted people understand one another's values. It makes a case for preparing not just directives, but shared narratives that guide decisions when life becomes fragile and unpredictable. Fourthly, palliative care, hospice, and reframing hope. The book highlights palliative care and hospice as approaches that can restore human priorities at the end of life. Dovedale discusses how these models shift the focus from defeating death at all costs to relieving suffering, supporting families, and aligning care with what matters most to the patient. This topic emphasizes that comfort-focused care is not the same as giving up. Instead, it reframes hope. Hope can move from cure to meaningful time, from more procedures to more presence, from prolonging life to protecting the quality of remaining days. The book also explores how earlier integration of palliative care can improve decision-making by clarifying goals before crises force rushed choices. Readers are encouraged to see symptom management, emotional support, and spiritual or existential care as central, not peripheral. This includes honest conversations about prognosis and burdens of treatment, which can prevent the default slide into intensive interventions that may not match the patient's priorities. Dugdale's discussion helps readers understand what these services actually do, why they are sometimes misunderstood, and how they can create a more coherent plan of care. The topic serves as a practical bridge from critique to actionable alternatives within today's healthcare system. Lastly, Recovering Wisdom Through Community, Ritual, and Preparation. A central contribution of the book is its call to recover older forms of wisdom about dying that were once carried by families, religious traditions, and communal rituals. Dugdale explores how practices of preparation can provide orientation when medicine cannot offer a cure. Preparation includes conversations about values, forgiveness, legacy, and what one considers a faithful or meaningful end, whatever one's worldview. The book suggests that rituals around illness and death can offer structure for grief and reduce the loneliness that often surrounds modern dying. This topic also addresses the role of caregivers and the moral importance of accompaniment, the act of staying present to a person who is declining. In a culture that prizes productivity in youth, dependency can be treated as failure, yet the book argues that vulnerability is part of being human and can deepen bonds. Practical preparation may include appointing a trusted surrogate, discussing trade-offs one is willing or unwilling to accept, and learning how to navigate common medical scenarios. The emphasis, however, is that preparation is relational more than bureaucratic. By renewing community and meaning, the book proposes that we can face mortality with greater clarity and less fear, creating endings marked by compassion rather than confusion. In conclusion, this book is well-suited for readers who want to understand why end-of-life experiences so often feel conflicted, including patients facing serious illness, family caregivers, clinicians, chaplains, social workers, and anyone who wants to plan ahead with honesty. It also fits readers interested in medical ethics and the cultural history of death, because it connects personal choices to larger institutional and social forces. The benefit to a reader's life is practical and humane. It helps you clarify what you value, learn how to talk about dying before a crisis, and recognize when medical treatment supports your goals versus when it may quietly replace the deeper work of care. By reframing hope and emphasizing community, it can reduce fear and guilt that frequently accompany end-of-life decisions. Compared to similar books that focus mainly on policy, memoir, or step-by-step planning, Dugdale's strength is integration. She combines a clinician's realism about medicine with a moral and spiritual vocabulary that many modern discussions lack, while still pointing toward actionable choices such as earlier palliative involvement and better surrogate preparation. For readers seeking both insight and guidance, it offers a distinctive, worthwhile perspective that can improve real decisions for oneself and for loved ones. If you would like to support L.S. Dugdale, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.